Tom is in his 40s, a father of three boys. He regards himself as an average sort of Christian. He'd say, "I'm not one for joining in organisations or clubs, but we do go to church regularly, and I try to stick to the rules. I just hope I keep on the right side of God until I die." Tom is faithful to his religion and his religious practices as he understood them, and he hopes to make the grade when he dies. A noted psychologist, Eric Fromm, noticed that this was a common attitude amongst a good number of people who call themselves Christians or believers. When they talked about being a disciple of God, if they talked about being a disciple of God, they seemed to see God as a sort of, in a business sense, God was like a remote general director of the universe. And they believed wholeheartedly that God is running everything, but you never see him. You just do your best and hope for the best. Now, I think everybody here will know that is really a travesty of what being a Christian is all about. For people like Tom, they must be in control of their lives. They need to organize their lives in the right way, their way, hoping for God's approval. And I think everybody here will know that that is not what Christianity is about. It's all about a living, loving relationship with God. A loving God who passionately cares about us and is not some remote general director. And I think that is right. But it's one thing to believe that in your head, intellectually, but it ain't always necessarily so, to quote a song, when it comes to putting it into practice. We may believe that God's in charge, but in practice, what we so often do is actually to run the show, make our own decisions, and then ask God to bless it. I've heard over the years quite a lot of church intercessions, which sounds to me suspiciously like us giving God his orders. And then at the end, we make it all right by saying, "We ask this in Jesus' name." And of course, we all know of people who have been quite desperate over something and have prayed and prayed. And when their prayer was not answered as they saw it, well, then that's it. They gave up on God and they never darkened the doors again, if they ever darkened it in the first place. All of us need to learn to let God control our lives, to let God really be in charge. There was a book once some years ago and it was called Let Go and Let God. Now it isn't easy to do that, especially if control of our lives comes from our childhood, where perhaps for various reasons we've had to take control. Perhaps our parents were not there, or they weren't able to give us the sort of unconditional love and support that every child needs. And we've had to take control, and it's become ingrained, a habit. Looking back over the years, I think for many years I was a bit like Tom. Actually, I've been to church all my life, and I was very much involved with as much as women were allowed to be involved. And I loved it. But God was still somewhere, some distance away. And I, looking back, I think my prayers were a sort of pleading with God to do this, to do that. It was a life-changing experience for me when I finally was able to let go of that control and to see that God was in charge. That happened because this was in my 30s, so I suffered a sort of delayed teenage experience. I met up with some very old friends of mine, and I could see a huge change in them. I used to be a diocesan youth many years ago, and the diocesan youth program was run in those days by two priests, Reg East and John Gunston. And I knew them and trusted them. I'd been to youth summer schools. They were both from my tradition, which was more high church than this church. And I trusted them, but I could see something had changed in them. They still did the same thing, but there was a quality about them. Christ had become absolutely real to them. Because I gradually discovered that this was all part of the charismatic renewal of the 70s. And in due course, I asked God to make himself much more alive to me. And over the years, not a lightning experience, but over the years, that became true for me. Now I could see that God was really in charge, requiring a bit of cooperation from me, rather than the other way round, me being in charge and asking God for a bit of his help. Of course, when you're stressed, it's all too easy to reverse, to regret, to revert, that's the word I'm looking for, to your old habits. And there are times when I'm tempted to seize the reins and organize everything and be in control. But now I recognize what is happening, and I ask God through his Holy Spirit to get me back on track. Knowing God loves us and simply asks for our cooperation certainly takes the pressure off our life. And it can sure take the pressure off a church's life. When I first went to Harwich, there were all sorts of problems. And the first thing I did was to organise a prayer group to meet regularly to pray for the church, for all of us to be open to God's Spirit. And the first thing I changed with PCCs was that we prayed before we did any business. I got it in the neck from certain people who, you know, why are we spending time praying? We're supposed to be here doing the business. That got sorted out eventually. But gradually, by God's grace, I was able to help change that church's orientation from them organize everything and asking God to bless it, to going first to God in prayer and seeing what God had to say. Of course, we then had to do the work to implement it. And it's this sort of confidence in God. It only comes through prayer. If we pray persistently, learning to put God at the centre of that prayer. It's very important to put God first, just as it is in the Lord's Prayer. It starts off with praise. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Only a bit later it says, give us this day our daily bread. There's a wonderful example of this in action in Acts chapter 4, where Peter and John had been imprisoned and they're freed and they come back to the disciples and they pray, all the group pray. And the beginning of that prayer is all praise to God, looking at what God has done in the past. They're focusing on God. Only later do they bring in their intercession, their needs. The widow in the gospel, yes, I've finally come to the gospel reading. She had faith and confidence. She knew she was powerless. She certainly had no control in her life, really. She was at the mercy of this judge, who turned out to be a bit of a plonker as well. She was desperate to be heard, to get justice, and by golly, she was going to get it. So she kept on pestering the judge, confident that she would be eventually heard, even if he was corrupt, because she knew he'd give in just to stop her making a noise and giving him no peace and quiet. Now, this gospel reading is not, I don't believe, telling us to keep on and on nagging God, twisting his arm until he eventually gives in to what we want. It's saying, you be like that woman, that widow. You have faith in God, who is compassionate and loving and knows what's the best for you. He's the one who really can help and make a change and make a difference to your life. Stay close to him. Not to keep pestering him, but stay with him, looking at him in all his beauty, his faithfulness, his creativity. Then you'll find it so much more easy to be able to hand over various issues, problems to him. That doesn't mean to say you have got to have a time every day where you sit down and pray. There's all sorts of ways we can keep our eyes on God. We can see him in the beauty of the changing seasons. We come across God in drama, perhaps a film. Many a time I have, in literature, books, films, I have been struck very powerfully by something that I felt this is of God. It doesn't have to be a religious book either. We are, all of us, of course, powerless in matters of life and death. Just as that widow was powerless and utterly dependent to get her rights on that judge, and a corrupt judge at that. But it's when we learn that in a way that doesn't matter, because God isn't powerless, then life changes for us. Because we know we are safe in God's loving care. That's why, I don't know about you, but I love the 23rd Psalm, although one hears it over and over again. But I love it because it's saying that all of our lives, even when we're going through the valley of shadow of death, That could be illness or somebody else's illness. It could be redundancy. It could be bereavement. Even when we're going through the pit, we know that God is with us. And as Mother Julian used to say, all will be well. But we do need to stay in prayer, however we know prayer, and it'll differ from person to person because we're all different. If we don't pray, we're going to lose heart. We're going to revert and start trying to run the show ourselves. And then we're going to get losing heart. We're going to run out of steam. We might even give up and just give up on God altogether. So let's keep prayer at the centre of our hearts. Very often it's when we're in the darkest bit that actually we do find we come closest to God. I don't know about you, but that's been my experience. When I'm literally shouting at God because of whatever the situation is, it's then very often that I've heard that still small voice and life has changed. Peter asked earlier, what difference does it make for me, who am certainly well over 50, of having faith? And I think the difference for me is that it's knowing more and more that my life is in God's hands and it isn't a gradual decline into illness and then eventually popping my clogs and that's it. It's something so much nicer and better than that. It's seeing that the best is yet to come and we don't just fade out. That's not to deny the difficulties of old age and increasing illness and frailty. Just a few years ago, my husband was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, just the beginnings of it. And I could be quite despairing about that, but I'm not, because I know that God has looked after us all through our lives, and he will continue to do so. And I just trust that whatever happens, God will be there and will be taking care of us. And I do hope that you, in your increasing years, will also find that assurance. And it doesn't matter if every now and again we forget and we revert to old habits. God is always faithful and to forgive us and helps us to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves down, and start all over again.